Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Oh, and by the way, Lord, if you see fit, please don't let those cheaters, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, win today. Amen.
Wow. Wow. My apologies to all you Seattle fans who might be out there. No, Seattle fans and Patriot fans, no, we obviously it's a Super Bowl later today. And since our beloved Niners are not in it, who cares? No, so, okay, if you could take out your sermon outline for today, what's new for 2015, and obviously it's February 1st, but I began this little mini-series earlier in January, and there's three different main points I was going to share. I shared the first one during that first message several weeks ago. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, actually, before I went on vacation for a couple of weeks. So today we're picking up, and we're going to do point number two, and probably finish point number three next Sunday. Okay, so these are things that are new for 2015. Hopefully they'll be new for all of us. The first one, point number one, in case you weren't here 3 weeks ago, it's the whole idea of exchanging religion for relationship. That's why the blank is filled in already, because we covered this during the first sermon. But the idea that religious activity is certainly something that's a part of all of our Christian experience. We come to church, there's worship, we pray. There's many different religious activities that are a part of the Christian life. However, the primary focus of being a Christian is not mere religious activity. And if that is the extent of our Christian experience, then we don't realize what we're missing, because the real primary, central, foundational aspect of the Christian experience is not about religious activity. It's all about relationship, a personal relationship with the living God who created each and every one of us. Now, that relationship involves religious activity, but religious activity without the relationship misses the whole point of biblical Christianity. And I know some folks were born into a church, and they've been in church all their lives, and there's sometimes a misunderstanding about what it means to be a Christian. Becoming a Christian is not merely going to church and doing religious stuff. Being a Christian means having a personal relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. Simple faith, just understanding and believing and trusting Jesus is God's Son. He died for our sin. He rose from the dead. And through that simple faith, it begins a whole new relationship, a whole new life. And that new life in Jesus Christ, knowing God through Jesus Christ, involves religious activity, but goes far beyond it. And so I hope we can make that point very clear. We can exchange religious activity for relationship. Not we throw out religious activity, means we go far beyond it. It's all about relationship. Point number two in your outline, we need to understand in this new year, 2015, for the rest of our lives, we need to exchange the whole concept of ownership for stewardship. That's the key word for point number two. Actually, if we understand what God is telling us in his word and the Bible, the truth of God in both Old and New Testament, we don't actually own anything. We think we own stuff, but actually God just grants us the privilege and the blessing of being stewards of what he owns. God is the owner of everything. Let's go ahead and just have a quick word of prayer, and then I'll share the rest of this message today, which will be shorter because of communion. Okay, let's pray together. Our Father God, thanks so much for your many blessings. Thank you for times of family and personal vacation. Eileen and I just deeply appreciate the time we've had the last few weeks. Thank you so much for the brothers and sisters here at the church family who took care of things while I was gone. And as we've joked about over the years, it's like I was, never even really missed. But Father, thanks so much for your many blessings and for watching over the worship services the last several weeks and just for blessing the body of Christ here. Father, thanks so much for this new year that we are in, 2015. I pray that every one of us here today will understand the importance of exchanging religious activity for relationship with you, and now to understand the concept of exchanging ownership for stewardship. So, Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The primary passage for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. If we could bring up those verses, thank you. And the Apostle Paul is saying to these Christians in Corinth, do you not know that your body, now he's talking to believers, to Christians, people who have come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Verse 20, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, I've said this before over the years in different messages, but actually, God is owner of us and everything about us for at least two very important reasons. Number one, he created us. He created everything. He created the universe. And by way of creation, God already owns us. That's enough. That really should have been enough to understand the concept that God owns me, he owns everything, because he made everything. He's the creator. But beyond that, not only is he the creator, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, and he died for all of us. And that's something we're celebrating, we're acknowledging, we're worshiping God through the act of communion in just a few minutes as a way of remembering what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That his only son shed his blood, his body was broken, his life was sacrificed to pay the penalty for all of our sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. So by way of creation, by way of redemption, God owns us. He owns everything about us. And that's not only in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, but certainly in other passages. They're not in your notes. If you want to jot them down and look at them later, feel free. We don't have time to look at them all right now. But Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Let me just read it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. That kind of covers everything, doesn't it? So according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, God owns everything. Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That kind of covers everything as well, doesn't it? Psalm 24, verse 1. And then, of course, we just read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. God owns us and everything about us. And many of us have heard the expression, it starts with three words. They all start with the letter T. You know, they describe everything about us. God owns our time, our treasures, and our talents. Our time, our treasures, our talents. And many of us remember the pastor, the founding pastor of Boss, Bayside of South Sacramento, Pastor Carthen, Sherwood Carthen. And I think some of you even knew him back in high school. He's gone home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. But I still remember a message I had the privilege of hearing him about almost 10 years ago when we first moved from the Bay Area. We visited his church. And he was talking about this concept that God owns everything. He says, everybody's heard about time, treasures, and talents. But he added a fourth T. And it was very helpful. It's the word testimony. It's the word testimony. It means everything that about us that other people are going to see or hear about, reputation, whatever, our testimony. That all belongs to God. Everything about us, time, treasures, talents, testimony, it all belongs to him. Now, this concept of ownership is so important because it changes our perspective on everything about us in our lives. You know, it's not that we own our own lives, and so we are therefore, we don't have to answer to anybody. We just kind of do whatever we want because we own our own lives. Now, those of us who are interested in sports, or maybe you're going to watch the Super Bowl anyway later today, or, you know, just any sports, I think most of us are aware that it's part of sports, which is not necessarily a positive aspect of it, but it's called trash talking. It's where opposing players will say things to one another right before the play starts, and they do it for different reasons. Sometimes they do it just out of sheer arrogance. Some of them just do it out of sheer meanness. They're just mean people. Other people do it strategically because they want to get in the head of their opponent and bother them psychologically or emotionally that may affect their performance. Trash talking. And one of the expressions you'll hear them say is, I own you. I own you. You know, and it can be intimidating. It can be infuriating, whatever. But that's one of the expressions that's kind of very insulting. I own you. And what does that mean? It means like, I dominate you. You know, I'm just going to control you. You know, you have no chance against me. That kind of mentality, that kind of attitude. Los Angeles Lakers basketball fans used to be able to say that about the Sacramento Kings. But times change, don't they? And things change and performances change. So they don't exactly own the Kings anymore. But that kind of expression is generally viewed very negatively. And it's kind of like when you go to work and somebody says, you know, does your boss own you? Like, you know, they dominate you, they control you. Maybe you have a situation like that. You know, sometimes you're in school and you have a teacher or a professor that just seems to really have it out for you. And they have a certain amount of authority over you. And you may feel like, you know, they own you. And you say, well, what really owns us? Well, what controls us? What has a sense of domination over us? And that's why when you talk about God owning us, sometimes you have to shift gears a little bit and realize, wait a minute, he's not a slave master. He's not trying to dominate and control us for evil purposes against our, you know, what's in our best interest. If anything, we have to understand ownership can have some very positive aspects to it, right? I mean, if, you know, we were just on vacation. When we go on vacation, sometimes if you fly somewhere, you know, you rent a vehicle. And when you rent a vehicle, you know, let's be honest, some of us, you know, when we're driving a rented vehicle, we may not treat it perhaps as carefully and as nicely as we do with our own private vehicle that we own. You know, where we park, maybe we're not as concerned if it gets a little ding from somebody parking too close. If it's our own vehicle, you know, we park much further out, whatever, make sure there's no cars around. I had a chance of renting a number of years ago. You know, God blesses us in different ways, and we had reserved just a very cheap, economical car. And we get to this airport, and they just got a new shipment. This is years ago. Some of you remember the Ford Retro T-Bird when it came out, and some of the big rental companies got them. And so this rental company just had a new shipment come in, the Retro T-Bird convertibles, and they wanted people to use them as quickly as possible. So I'm checking out my little, you know, compact car, where the lady says, would you like to upgrade to that? I go, yeah, but you know, I want to pay $100 a day more. She goes, $10 a day more. We just want a customer. I go, yeah, we'll take it for 2 days. So we got to drive that thing. A lot of fun. It was a Retro T-Bird convertible. Now, I got to admit, you know, didn't quite treat it as carefully as if I had owned it. Or perhaps if I had borrowed a car like that from a friend. And I think I may have shared this before, but when I was in seminary, my wife and I had some part-time jobs live-in babysitting with some of the wealthier families in the Dallas, Texas area. They would have these seminary students come live in their home to watch their kids while they were away. And while they were away, sometimes they would realize that we only had one car between the two of us, and we needed an extra car. And one family had, the guy was driving this brand new convertible, you know, Corvette convertible. And he said, okay, I can leave this for you if you needed to drive to school, whatever, for classes. I said, really? I said, wow, that's really nice of you. He goes, yeah, just be careful with it. So I remember driving to school one day, you know, with the top down, potentially went to class about an hour earlier, and was cruising around the block, waving to my other seminary friends, who were like, you know. But I was extremely careful with that car. I mean, not only avoiding any kind of damage to the outside, even on the inside. Now, I got to admit, if you've ever seen my own personal car, if you were, you know, some of the young people have ridden, I got to pile all the junk, you know, move the junk so they can get in there, whatever. My own personal vehicle, you know, I'm not the neatest person in the world. And so my own personal vehicle, I got junk. When I was using that Corvette convertible, I didn't drop a Kleenex anywhere. I mean, it was spotless because I didn't own it, and I wasn't renting it. I was becoming like a steward of it for those couple of days. Well, you know, if we gain that mentality about every aspect of our being, my time, my treasures, my talents, my testimony, everything about me, it all belongs to God. I'm not the owner. I'm the steward. He loved me so much, he sent his son to die for me. He's given me this whole new life, and he's given me the opportunity of investing everything he's given me, not for my own personal benefit, not for my own personal glory or my own personal building up of my own kingdom, whatever, but for his kingdom, to share his love with others. That's why we talk about to better experience and share God's love, because really what we are stewards even of God's love. He loves us. He pours out his blessings upon us. But then a lot of that is supposed to just sort of overflow to touch the lives of people around us. And that's what it means to be a faithful steward. And the wonderful thing about that parable about, and if you want to just jot it down in your notes, we don't have time to look at it, but I've preached on this before, but Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. And many of you are familiar with that parable, that story that Jesus told about the master who goes away on a journey. He gets his three servants together. He gives them each a certain quantity of talents, which at that time was a huge amount of money. It was a huge investment. He gives them each different amounts, and they are to be faithful to invest it while he's gone. And the first two are faithful, and so when the master returns and he has an accounting of each of the servants, the first two, you know, one gets five, the other gets two. And the last one, the last servant, he took his one talent and he dug a hole and he buried it. And so he digs it back up and gives it back to the master. The master says, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and get interest? And the servant doesn't have some kind things, very nice things to say to the master, but basically, here's the point. It was very dangerous to travel in those days. And when this master was going away on a far journey, there was a very real possibility he wasn't coming back. Now, what happens if that last servant, the one with the one talent, what happens if he puts it in the bank to deposit it? Whose name does he put it under? He's not going to put it under his own name, right? Because he knows there's a paper trail. It belongs to the master. So he'd have to put it under the master's name. The master doesn't come back from the journey. It goes to his estate. He digs a hole in the backyard, puts it in there. If the master doesn't come back, the master's killed, whatever, he goes back, digs it up, it's his. So this is the real point. This is why he's the wicked, lazy servant. It's not because he's so lazy he wouldn't even put it on deposit in the bank. I mean, it takes more work, really, to dig a hole. It's because he's wicked in the sense that he's hoping that the master doesn't come back. And here's the point for all of us who have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are the children of God. We are his stewards. If we live our Christian lives as if he's not coming back, or there's no final accounting, and our lives and everything that's a part of my life belongs to me, that's a major problem. That's a real problem, because we may say we believe God owns everything, we may say God owns us, but we're not living like it. And we need to learn to live like it. And part of living like it means I need to, over and over, every day of my life, I need to remind myself of the reality of who owns everything. It's not me. It's not me. Ultimately, it's God. God owns me. He owns everything about me and every aspect about me, and I'm his steward. And the question is, am I going to be a faithful steward? And since God owns everything, by the way, one of the positive things is that, you know, just like we said about a car, any valuable possession, we own it. We're going to take care of it. And since God owns us, God will take care of us. God will protect us. God watches over us. God blesses us because he wants us to prosper so that his blessing may overflow out of our lives and touch the lives of people around us. The more we experience his love, the more we can share his love with others. Let's learn to be stewards and not just owners. The third point will be next Sunday about exchanging decoration for something far better. So you'll need to come back next week to find out what that is. Okay? All right, let's close in prayer and then prepare our hearts for communion. Okay, let's pray together. Our Father God, thanks again for who you are. You are the great creator God of the universe and everything in it. And that includes each and every one of us here today. And by that simple fact and reality, you definitely own us by way of creation. Father, you've gone far beyond that, and you have redeemed us. You've sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for our sin. So you own us by way of creation and redemption. And Father God, I pray that each and every one of us who has a personal relationship with you might learn, especially this year, every day of this new year, to wake up and to understand that our lives don't belong to us. They belong to you. And every aspect of our being belongs to you. And you have placed so much at our disposal. We are stewards of our time, treasures, and talents, and testimony. And I pray that you'll help us in your power, by the strength of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom you grant us, to live our lives to the fullest, to direct glory and honor to you. Thank you so much that we can experience and share your love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.